Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 99%. My name is Jesse Vondracek. I'm coach at Top Step Training. And for those of you listening, you are very curious about this, I'm sure. My horoscope sign is Virgo. Next up, we've got Elliot. Elliot, tell us about yourself.
Hey, everybody. I'm Elliot Bassett at Mountain Endurance. Whatever, that's my company name. And I'm a Gemini. And no, I don't know what that means.
And Marilyn?
Hi, guys. Of course, you can find me at mcc.coach, and I am a Libra.
So we are not turning this into a dating podcast, it's still a triathlon podcast. We just thought we would start out with a little fun fact for everyone. And so by the end of the year, you will have compiled a great list of useless information about us. So and look forward to that in your next episode.
We're going to give out our social security one digit at a time. So if you put this in, you can corrupt us entirely.
So stay tuned in. Today, we're going to talk about race choices, how to select a race that's right for you, if it fits in with your goals and is aligned with kind of like a list of things that you might want to run through a race before actually deciding if it is a race that you want to take the time to go to.
So a little like dating, Jesse.
A little like dating, you know, it's like, you know, do you want to swipe left or right? You're going to look at the person. You're going to run through some background information about them. You want to do the same thing with a race. Is this a pretty race to you? How do you feel about it? So what are some of the attributes you might look for in a race?
In a racer.
There's no conceptualizing this. All right.
This is going to be an entertaining podcast for y'all.
Do we want to go to this race just one time, or do we want to go to this race year after year after year? In all seriousness, though, yeah. So I think we really want to answer that question a little bit, mostly just this year, right? Like, if you're looking at any race, and we're not trying to help you set up your schedule per se, because that's a larger conversation, but in any given year, you're choosing races as your main race, you're choosing races as preparatory races, you're using races just purely for fun, or for training, and or sometimes to appease the family or to join a training partner. I think, Jesse, you had a list of reasons before the show of all the different ways you'd choose a race, but I think I touched on most of them. We're going to choose what are some ways you've chosen a race like purely for fun? Like, let's hit it out of the park with something that people don't always start with, right? Oftentimes people say it's my A race, but like, if you're just choosing a race for fun, what's a reason to do a race for fun that also can kind of fit into the rest of your year?
Well, and even if you're saying a race is an A race, like what exactly does that mean, right? What process have you gone through to make that an A race? And I think that's what we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about today. And what I see people skip, and they're just like, oh, I want to do Ironman Wisconsin. I'm going to make that an A race. And they don't fill in all those steps as to why it should be, or maybe why it shouldn't be an A race. They kind of just jump to that label. And I think fun is a great reason to pick it, but you know, you have to kind of run through like kind of a process of all the whys that you might go to a race, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, like I have a lot of athletes at this time of year come to me and say, Marilyn, help me choose my race calendar. You know, what races are going to suit me the best? So I think you start with that question. What race is going to suit me the best? And what does that actually mean? Does it suit me the best? And I think the list that we're talking about is a good way to narrow down what race that is that suits you the best. And it's not necessarily just where you're going to perform the best based on, you know, your physical ability or where the course suits you, although that plays a part, but like you had said in your list, the technical skills, the weather, the conditions, the timing, there's all these pieces of the puzzle that add up to say, hey, I usually say to people when we start the conversation, pick 10 races that you feel the most passionate about going to. It puts a little fire in your belly. You look through the list and you say like, hey, these are the ones that I want to go to. And then we start to go through the specifics about narrowing it down, which one's going to be, give them the best chance to do really well. And yeah, that's, you know, that's really important when setting that A race for your year, because you're going to invest a lot of time and money into it. So you want to be sure it suits you perfectly.
I think that's a great way to start in having the athlete come up with a list, because you don't want it to be a coach driven list, right? I think it is something that they really need to be passionate about, and it needs to really kind of get them going. And if the race doesn't do that, then they're probably not going to perform well no matter what. So having it be a list that the athlete puts together, and then you can evaluate, you know, if it's a good fit from that. But it can't be a list you just throw at them. So I think that's a great place to start.
We're talking about triathlons.
I mean, I think I fall into that trap, like looking at the pro calendar and being like, okay, well, there's only X number of races. And so, you know, you're just like, well, maybe I have to go to this race, and it doesn't really excite me. But it's like kind of something you have to do. And so that doesn't usually lead to the best results, is the point. So you want to make sure it's something you're excited about.
Do we want to do a quick roundtable of, like, so you touched on all those ideas, but things, what I think about that maybe people don't think about is there a time change? And if there is a time change, even if it's a couple hours, how does that suit to your like travel schedule? Will you have time off work? And how is the travel going to affect you to and from that race? Like, not just what's the time change, but are you going to be driving? How long is the drive? How does your back hold up in a drive? Same questions for a flight. How are you going to be traveling? What's the sleep deprivation going into as you get to that location? And this is just like purely on the logistics to and from when you're choosing it. And then you have the date on the calendar, whatever time of year. And then you're looking at, am I going to be training in a bunch of rain, a bunch of snow? Is it going to be unbelievably hot? Is there a fire season that it's somewhat unpredictable? What are the tools I have to train through this potentially rough weather? Or is it, you know, is everything timing up perfectly so I get the best weather a year to train for my most important race? Am I traveling with a training partner? What's the cost of all this? Is it so expensive that then I can't do any other race in the year? And then are you okay with that? Or do you want to race a bunch and you'd rather race more often, as opposed to this one big race? And then I'm kind of rolling, but if you guys have ones, feel free to jump in. And then the course selection is, if you only like hilly races and everything else matches up perfect, but the race is pancake flat, are you going to be mid race just like, man, I freaking hate flat races, and for whatever reason, or I hate hilly races, and here you are going up a 5 mile climb and you're 2 miles into it and you're like, why am I here? You want to make sure that when you choose a race, as many of the things that are going into it are not in your way, and that when you're there, as many things that are motivating you are there. So you're engaged with the distance, you're engaged with the competition. There's nothing fighting. You want as few things fighting you and as few things holding you back as you can setting in. And then as many things motivating you, right? Most people just think purely about the motivation. And I do think that's probably the most important thing, but those other things, if you have things holding you back in different ways, you don't want that stuff. But feel free to hop in with any of those other ideas.
So if I was going to kind of box some of the things you said, you spent a while talking about like logistics of the race. And I think it's really important. I think people can get excited about a race and not take into consideration all the little nuts and bolts. And then again, that stretch.
Well, it's pretty, wouldn't you say it's common? Like, that's probably one of the most common mistakes I see with athletes choosing a race, is they did not think about logistics one bit. Right.
I mean, maybe not one bit, but maybe it is like, unless you unpack all those layers of like exactly how you're going to get there. Yeah. Like racing Ironman Wales is cool, but how do you get across the country? How do you jump on a bus after that? How does your bike get to all these places? So really unpacking what all logistics look like, even back to like, how many days
can you actually, the Atlantic Ocean.
Right. And like, how many days can you take off work in order to make all this stuff happen? And then what does your training look like leading into because of that? So like that logistics box is really big, and it's going to be really different based on everyone's situation, but it's definitely something worth unpacking, because you don't want to be fried from the travel when you get to a race, because you're trying to cram in travel one day before the race, because that's what your schedule allows. The other kind of box you talked about is the timing of the race given where you live. So for example, a August race, if you live in Tucson, is like a questionable choice. You know, depending on what you're comfortable with, are you comfortable
doing? But if you live in Victoria, British Columbia, it's an amazing choice.
Exactly. So, you know, that timing, kind of given everything else, it can be a big piece. And if you're riding and running a bunch inside, maybe it matters less, but something you need to really consider based on how you train and like what kind of what's going on around you.
I think another thing in that stance is people say, well, I'll get a treadmill, or I'll get a Ruvi or Zwift subscription or a smart train or something. But then the other question you have to ask yourself is, are you the person who's actually going to do all of your hard sessions in a situation that's indoors? So some people love indoor training. It might actually be easier for them to do, you know, I've had athletes in Montana train better in the spring when it's 3/4 indoor training, because once it gets outdoors, they have other things they're interested in doing, where they have friends who want to go on a hike, or they want to go backpacking or something like that, because they can't do that in February, but they can hunker down and just knock out crazy training. So strangely, they have their best races in May, even though they're doing some of that training in the worst time of year. So your personality is going to come through in the answer to that question. And you just want to be honest with yourself when you're kind of thinking that stuff through.
Yeah, I'll jump in and say that, you know, just a personal experience when I was racing, how I used to select my race calendar, which would have been with I'll give an example of all the options out there. So I would ideally race 3 Ironmans a year and then a few half Ironmans in between. And that was based on, I was racing for a living full time. And, you know, I wasn't someone who could race a lot. I needed to really choose what races carefully and give myself absolutely the best chance to do well in them. So race selection was really important. And it was typically something really early season in Asia, which when I lived in Canada, you would say that's not ideal, right? I mean, it was pretty hot there and pretty cold in Canada, but I was able to travel and, you know, had the luxury of going to warm places before and then doing the heat acclimation training required to be at a race like that. And then I would pick Ironman France in the middle of the year, because at that time I was really good at going uphill and had good descending skills as a bike rider. It was a bike rider's type course. So the first one was based on that I was good in the heat in Asia. The second one was based on that it was a tough bike course, a relatively fast swim and a really tough bike course with hard descending and a flat run course. And then later in the year, I would pick something like Ironman Canada or Ironman Western Australia or something like that, where logistically I was passionate about it based on the country that I was in. I'm Canadian and I always wanted to do well at Ironman Canada. And at the time I spent a lot of time living in Australia. So I was passionate about living, you know, doing well in that country. So that was, you know, for me, making something like Hawaii a priority as an athlete wasn't a great idea, because I just wasn't fast enough swimmer to be competitive. And so it would mean spending all this money and putting all my eggs in this one basket that really wasn't going to see a great return. Whereas those 3 races, I had every opportunity to podium, and that, you know, that selection made the most sense for me to race at those races. So, you know, and anything that was going to be really, really cold made no sense for me. If it was really cold, I was probably going to just be moving like a snail, because I don't do well in the cold. So I'm just giving that example out there on how someone who's racing full time looks at a race calendar and says, okay, well, I don't have a lot of opportunities. I'm not the type of athlete that can race, you know, 8 times a year. I can only race a handful of times a year. It really matters that I make money at these events. And so those are sort of some thought processes that I went through to be able to do that.
And so, yeah, given your situation, it seems like the biggest box you talked about there was like, what skills do you have? You talked about timing throughout the year, but then you really focused on, okay, well, I'm good in the heat. I perform well on like a little more technical, a little more climby courses. And then you talked a little bit about races you're passionate about, but both those races are also like somewhat challenging courses as well, right?
Yep.
So exactly. They kind of still fit that course profile that works for you. So you really like, I mean, since you're going to these races to make money, that do they fit your skill set sounds like the most important thing, where you look at a race like Kona and the swim is as important as it is in an ITU race. And so that doesn't fit your skill set. So you say, okay, well, that's not a good priority. Not only is it not a good financial decision, it doesn't align with what I'm good or bad at.
Right. But the reason I gave that example right off the back of what you guys were talking about is logistically, if you think about what I just said, I went from Asia to Europe to possibly the Southern Hemisphere or over to Canada. Logistically, that was really complicated. Those are very far away from one another. And the preparation based phases, like where I would train to prepare for those races, looked extremely different as well. So you can, based on the type of athlete you are, if you're, you know, the things that we were talking about when we haven't quite gotten into yet is, you know, work life, family life, what suits you as far as, okay, how I get to these races, and logistically it really matters because it has a huge impact on the success of it. For someone who's planning a race calendar or choosing races based off 100% performance and getting results, the logistics, you make those happen and you pick courses and races that are going to give you the best opportunity to get the best result for yourself. So you're looking at it from, I wanted to bring that off the back of what you guys are saying, because it gives you two completely different ways to look at what race would I choose for me.
Awesome. I guess I'll bring it back to myself since that's what I like to do the most. right now I'm in a thought process of going to Challenge Miami. And so I think it can kind of be a good yin to what you just said about why you picked a race. Because for me, Miami is, you know, it's pretty far away from Tucson. I don't know. We should have a map for this. We could show everyone how far things away if they don't know. But so for me to fly to Miami is like a couple of flights, and that means more time away from home, more time away from family. And so that is a logistical constraint for me. Also, when I look at a race like Miami, I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of nods and agreement here that it does not fit in my skills whatsoever. It's a 20 lap, super decently technical bike course where I have to come out of the bars twice a lap, and a lot of the good guys are not coming out of the bars once a lap. So that means I'm losing, I don't know, 30 seconds a lap if they're staying in the aero bars and I'm coming out twice. So 10 minutes in
I don't know about that, but
I mean,
it's more that you guys are going fast enough that if you're at a legal draft, you get slightly further out, and that is some significant power drop. But yeah. Emotionally, when you're at on the rivet, that's a hard thing to deal with, and that just might crack a only so tough mind of Jesse Vondracek. But I think like to not just you, but like to anybody choosing a race, like you're looking at that as this is a great competitive chance with a deep field, and you can test yourself, and it's maybe not your ideal distance or terrain. So then you're like, is this worth it? And then one of the reasons you're probably going to do this, and we didn't talk about this beforehand, but tell me if I'm wrong, where are you going to get that level of field at that time of year? And you're normally quite fit coming off of Tucson because you have great training weather right now, being January, where it's January 6th today, and you've got 2 months of great training heading into it. And it's like kind of hard to turn down racing those people, even if the course isn't right up your alley.
And exactly. And I tend to do better with warm-up races. Like I'm probably going to do Ironman Texas not that long after. And so to fit in a race between now and then is hard to do with the race calendar that we have. So even though it's a race that like I'm probably not going to make money at because it doesn't suit me at all, but it might still be a good season opener. So it might not check like the goal of like performance. It might not check that box, but it might check another box of like setting me up to have maybe more successes down the road because I have had that experience. So you know, it just kind of provide another perspective of like, well, my goal of doing well probably doesn't fill that bucket, but it might fill another bucket of like that opening race where we talked about maybe people are going to do a sprint or an Olympic before they do a half or before they do a full. And I do think that's important. And I think for some people, it can be important to race. Like I could do the Oro Valley sprint, which might have one or two fast people, but maybe I actually need like a bunch of people around me going really hard to get the most out of myself to remember what that's like before I've got to do it again.
And most of the people listening to this are not trying to make a dollar at a race, but you still might find yourself where you're like, normally I'm trying to finish top whatever in your age group or be in the top 50% of your age group, or you have a certain time. And it's kind of hard to have time goals in triathlon, but we all know that there's plenty of people out there who have time goals in triathlon despite all that. And so sometimes you're like choosing a race because it's the easiest course, even though you might finish further down the field. And that's okay, because that's what's motivating you. You're like, well, I know it's a pancake flat course, but I want to go try and go sub whatever time. And that can be a motivator. And so you, when you're choosing the race right now, if it sounds like Maryland, your races, you were motivated by trying to get a paycheck and choosing courses that suited you. Jesse, you're motivated just by trying to be prepared for races further down the road. So choosing clashes, like, you know, you have to show up ready. You have to be ready to go. And sure, maybe it's not going to be perfect, but you're going to get a really intense effort out of it. And that's what you want out of that race. So that's why you're choosing Clash. And that's why Marilyn chose her races. And that's two totally different reasons to choose a race, but two very good reasons to choose a race.
I think also one of the limiters that people run into, or they might, a blind spot they might run into in choosing their races, is checking in with everybody in their support system and in their life that they actually have the room to train for it properly. And what I mean by that is I'll have someone pick a race. We know it suits them perfectly, physically, skill wise, all of these things. It's great timing in the year as far as whether they're coming out of, you know, good training weather, all of that stuff. And then all of a sudden they'll send me their family commitments or their work commitments. And right in the middle of their key part of their training block, they've got a 5-day holiday planned with their family or their kids, where they can't take their bike and they can't train at all. Or they all of a sudden realize, oh wait, that's the busiest time of year for my work, and I'm going to have to reduce my training down to half because I have to work 12-hour days. So make sure that when you choose your races, not only are you looking at, you know, the fine details of your logistics and also what suits you as far as your motivation and your technical skills and physical strengths, but how does that fit in with the rest of your life? And that, so now you need to include, you know, whether it's your partner or your family or your work or your friends or whatever extra things that you got going on in your life. If all of a sudden you have to take half the amount of training or all these days off right in your key build, now this A race is suddenly compromised. So that's another piece to really, really look at when picking your races for yourself.
And that's a good time where maybe a race does suit you except for that training build. And that would maybe be a reason that you still do the race, but then you just take a step back and you say, okay, I'm going to do more than one or two races this year. Maybe that's not the one I'm fully prepared for, and that's totally okay. And maybe you'll pull it off, but like, you know, going in, okay, but I'm going to schedule my year for kind of to be peaking at a different time. But that doesn't mean you don't have to do that race. It just means, oh, okay, well, I'll be a little less prepared, but then what can I get out of this? Probably a lot of fun, right? And that's another reason to choose a race. I was kind of curious, like, when do you guys think races are, when the main reason is like, it's close by, it's fun, you're going to do it with a group of people. You know, there's a lot of people, my buddy's going to do a marathon, I'm going to pace him. Are you faster than him? Yeah. How much faster? Oh, like my PR is 3 minutes faster. Okay. So you're the same speed, you know, you're going to do a race, a marathon at 99%. That's still going to be pretty tough. When are you guys okay with that? And you encourage it. And when would you kind of say, maybe that does sound fun, but that's going to kind of bite you in the butt.
I 100%, I'll tell you that that's exactly how I pick races for myself now. So people like, I'm like,
as a non-professional who's out there for fun.
Exactly. I'm out there for fun. 100%. Now people are like, do you want to fly to this race? I'm like, no, I do not want to pack my bike. And if I can't drive there and it's logistically super easy and like five of my friends aren't going, I'm like, no, I'll just stay home and go on the group ride. Every single event I do now, I don't think I've done one event where I've had to fly with my bike since I retired from professional racing. And that's on purpose, because I literally traveled around the world with a bike box and a bag for, you know, almost 10 years. And after that, I was just, if I can't drive there, if I need to build another bike and pack another bike, I'm going to scream. So I'm like, you know, if I can't drive there, then I don't go there. And that just to me, and it's been like some pretty big races that I had the opportunities to go to as well. And I was just like, can I drive? Nope. I'm not going. So, I'm not saying I never would, but in terms of your question of fun, you know, if logistics make it not fun anymore, or, you know, their primary reason is to have a great time with their friends, it might not really matter how they're actually going to do, or if the course suits them at all, if they go there and have a great time. And that's like, honestly, 100% of how I do it for myself now.
But that's like, yeah, I think a lot of people listening to this are competitive and think they shouldn't choose a race like that. But a lot of times that's 100% the reason to choose a race.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. When I line up and I stand, I'm on the start line.
You're going hard.
I'm going to try and win whatever division I'm in, but I didn't choose it for any other reason other than it was easy and my friends were there.
But yeah. And so I think there's a lot of people in this sport who think that they have to choose the races the same way whoever's trying to win the world championship chooses races. And it's like, no, you're not that person. And if you sit down, there's a lot of people who are trying to win a world championships who are still actually considering, is this race fun? Because if it's not at least a bit fun, or it's not challenging in a certain way, just as Jesse was saying with the challenge, with the Miami, is it challenge or clash, by the way?
Sorry, it's clash.
Clash. Let's give them some. Yeah. You want that as a motivator, right? Or whether it's to motivate you in training or motivate you on the day. And I think a lot of people think about motivation in the training and will this get you out of bed? But I don't think a lot of people, when choosing a race, think about when you're in the race and you're kind of in the middle of the battle, is this race giving you a reason to go hard? And so Marilyn, you don't need much of a reason short of there's a finish line and you smell blood, but not everybody's like that, right? You know,
I'm not that bad.
Well, that's one of the reasons I actually don't race as much, is because I've gotten myself into trouble of like, well, if I go really hard or if I sprint, I'm going to re-injure XYZ injury. So I just kept doing races. Oh, just for fun. Oh, this is just for fun. Well, I can't turn off the switch and I just keep hurting myself. So I've discovered if I want to not hurt myself, I have to not race and I have to really pick and choose. So I'm like this total opposite. I don't get to do the races because I'll just get injured. And that ends up being a worse thing for me personally, even though I do like doing it. But you have to kind of figure those things out about yourself. And I would say like, that's one of the reasons where you're like, if you're coming back from an injury and the race is right in the wheelhouse of what could injure you, it might be fun, but maybe you need to find a way to either not participate or participate in a way that won't hurt you, which might also make it less fun. And so that's something you need to keep in mind. Like, we're talking about all these positive reasons to choose a race, but there's also sometimes reasons to not choose a race. And that's just as much part of the question.
Yeah. I'll jump in and talk about choosing races for fun as well a little bit here. And I think that there should be a little bit of fun in every race choice you make. Like, if a race sounds miserable, then you probably shouldn't do it because you're probably not going to get the best out of yourself. So it should sound at least a little bit fun. And then, you know, that scale can be a kind of a sliding scale. But I think if you're going to choose a race for purely for fun, the one thing you want to like look at is, does that align with your goals for that race? If they're just to go have fun, great. But also your goals for the rest of the season, because if you're doing, you know, an Ironman for fun in July, but your A race is in August, maybe that doesn't align with you having your best A race, right? So looking at your goals for the season and then saying, okay, do I have room to put in this fun race here? And is it okay if you're not at your best or whatever else? Like, you know, just saying, okay, here are my goals. And then how do these things fit in with those goals? And then your goals on each day, like the goals for the fun race, it's just going to be have fun, pace your friend, try and beat Marilyn, whatever it is. But then making sure you say, okay, my goals for this season are not going to be compromised by, you know, Elliot doing a bike race and getting injured and then he can't do his next bike race 3 weeks later. So yeah, I guess like really taking a step back and saying, what do I actually want to accomplish? what can I do with like the time I have, and how do all those pieces fit together? And that's kind of a big, big view on race planning.
I think too, also something to just even talk about is that if you've been doing this a long time and you've done a lot of different racing, it might start to get harder to find things that challenge you and that you're excited about going to do. I was just having a conversation with a lady who's been racing a long time and been an elite athlete pretty much her whole life. And we're comparing stories and having a conversation about it. And I'm, you know, similar as she's in her 50s and she's like, you know, I don't really sign up for very many events anymore because everything I do, I've done it before, I've seen it before, and they don't really motivate me enough to put the training in. And what I said to her was, sometimes I'll pick an event just because it scares the crap out of me. And I'll pick it because I know if I'm scared of it, I'll make sure that I do the training required to do it. And what I mean by that is, one time I picked a 10K open water swim, and I'm not a great swimmer. And I was like, if I don't do the training required to complete this well, I wasn't worried about winning it. I just didn't want to cramp out in the middle of the ocean and not be able to get back. And so I picked this event because I knew it would push me mentally, physically. It would push me to grow. I wasn't going to skip training because I was thinking, man, 10K open water with no wetsuit. I'm going to go straight out into the middle. You know, it's called the double rough water. It was out of the Waikiki Beach. So it was like, no joke. I was thinking, man, if I make it through this thing, it'll be great. And I was so slow. I was like one of the last people out of there. It was the most fun event I've ever done. I got out of the water and I was like more excited than a kid at Christmas and just had a great time. And I was, it was just one of those events that I thought there's no way I could do that. And then I did. And so I think when you've done a lot of stuff for a long time, sometimes even all these other factors don't come into play. It's like, what at this point might scare me just enough to push me and help me grow as a human being. And that can be kind of cool too.
And you're reminding me of exactly how I treated my initial bike racing, where I was like, once you get dropped from the main pack, that chase car swoops up if you're not in the main group and you're just out there on some roads in the middle of nowhere. And it was like, you might get hit by a car. Nobody's going to give you water. There's no, like, you didn't bring a flat kit and now you've got no flat kit and you're 60 miles from home. And I remember just like training for those races, like purely off of the thought of, I need to get as far into the race as possible without getting dropped. And it didn't even cross my mind I could win them. But that mindset then put me in a position to win, because I was just like, I need to be fit enough to be there at the end, not realizing that's exactly the mindset you need to win the race. You have to be fresh at the end. But yeah, it, whatever the event is, each person's going to have their own twist. And that's totally a valid reason and oftentimes a pretty entertaining way for people like you and I and a lot of the people listening to this podcast to kind of have a fun time with along with the ride. Obviously, like, it kind of gives you a little jolt, right? You wake up in the morning, you're like, I gotta go to the pool. Why? Because I might die out there. You know, like, what? Why are you going on a bike ride? It's raining. You don't understand. Like, I don't want to get dropped at mile 20. And then they're like, why are you doing it? And you're like, well, because it's fun. And everyone's definition of fun is different. And I think a lot of people listening to this, like, the fun is often in the challenge. And we haven't spent too much time on like the challenge of the goal, but like, what are some different ways like you guys use, like Jesse with this clash race, like, what is your goal? Is it just the effort? Is it just to be ready for showing up on the line? Like, what are your thoughts on that challenge, since you don't have a specific like place goal per se?
Well, I just want to make it very clear, I've not committed to the clash race. So this is just like,
I didn't even realize that. I'm
hypothetical.
Choose any other long distance triathlon X that's coming up. What's the challenge you're getting out of the next one you're thinking of?
So I guess I'm going to take that and spin it a little bit. I'm going to say, so let's talk about Ironman Texas, because I'm 98% sure I'm going to do Ironman Texas. And, you know, I would love to go to the top 10 there. That that'd be kind of the goal. And then I'd say like the challenge is that that's a flat, fast bike course where people are going to be riding really hard, and it doesn't really favor, say, power to weight as it does raw power. So in thinking about that right now, I have been cultivating mass in the off season in order to,
yes, he's been bulking
in like kind of that long-term thought that like, I want to be a little bit stronger on the bike, potentially a little bit better at riding a flat road fast. And so I'm kind of adjusting my training to align with the race goals that I'm picking down the road, and to help me reach the goal of hopefully getting in the top 10 there. So I'm like, I'm, you know, putting on a little weight, maybe sacrificing a little bit of run speed, but hopefully gaining a little bit more pure power on the bike. So goals for the race would be top 10, but then I'm kind of saying, well, what can I do now in order to achieve them? How can I change my training, and how can I, you know, cultivate a little mass, if you will? Ellie, you look confused.
No, I'm just thinking about Jürgen Zach. That's all. Look him up if you don't know who that is. He needs more power.
With down on the pedals, Hada.
I think Jürgen is even before your time, Jesse. But what, late 90s was his prime time? So, yeah. So that's the challenge. That's where you're thinking of it. And I take it that's exciting, and that's a reason enough, like that race being on the calendar, you're like, that's the challenge in that race, despite the fact that the course is not suiting you.
Yeah. I mean, just like you were talking about the bike race, it's like, that's how kind of how I feel about that race. It's like, first of all, I want to make it to the pack, and then I want to not get dropped. And, you know, even if we're all sitting legal, when you're going close to 30 miles an hour on a straight flat road, that's a pretty big benefit when you get 20 guys sitting legal. So yeah.
So what are some of the
I was just going to say, just to bring it back for people, you know, we got on a bit of a tangent here with that, is that, you know, you've picked that race because it puts a huge amount of passion in your belly to go and race the best. And so now what that drives you to do is make a lot of choices in your training for yourself to put yourself in the best position to race there. So you've picked that race on the calendar because, well, one, it works really well coming out of Tucson, but primarily because that's where the competition is. And so even though it might not suit you that well, you're willing to do whatever it takes, and it puts extra motivation in you to do whatever it takes to be competitive there, because you're thinking, I'm going to stand on the start line. I got a little bit of fear. I want to go there and compete. And so those are big drivers for you in race choices. You know, bring it back to the topic, is that we're saying, how are you going to pick the races that you want to do this year? And you've picked Texas as your 98% A race. Is that, you know, if we're listening to you going, man, this guy is really motivated to go there and do whatever it takes in his training to go there and do well. And you've picked that race because of that. And that's what we're trying to do when you pick race calendars. Like, does it suit you? Whether it suits you or not, I think the big takeaway we can all agree on is, as an athlete, when you pick those races, are you going to be in a position to be able to do your best training for it, so you can perform the best at that place? And are you just super fired up about it? Right. I mean, at the end, all these different things that we talk about is, whatever race you pick and whatever race calendar you pick, the most important thing, like, we can look at, hey, are you good in the heat? Are you good on a hilly course? Are you good at altitude? Are you good in the wind? Do you have good handling skills? I mean, if you are just passionate, right, do you want to race with your friends? If you're just super passionate about that race, you'll do whatever it takes in your race build to be ready to do that. So I think if everyone can take one thing away from this podcast, and they're looking at all the races on the calendar right now, and they're thinking, how am I going to choose? Ask yourself the one main question is, how fired up am I about this race? And when you look at one and you say, that's the one, then that's probably your A race.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think the other things you were talking about, like those skills, those are malleable, right? If you're not great in the heat, well, you can work on heat training between now and then. Maybe you won't be perfect, but you can still, that's something you can like adjust, right? Like your work schedule and how excited you are about a race, and, you know, whatever, like your family schedule, like some things like that, you might not be able to change. But like, think about the controllables you can control and say, okay, I can control these things, but what am I excited about? And like, what checks those boxes that I can't control? Yeah, I think those are great things to kind of put first and foremost, because yeah, as we've said a number of times, if you're not pumped on a race, you're probably not going to get the most out of yourself.
Yeah, I like that visual actually, Jesse, where you say like you make two lists, you look at a race, okay, you've done the first step. This is the one I'm most passionate about. So, you know, you've picked it and you go, yep. And then the next step might be if people are like going through a step-by-step process, because people like to do that. Okay, this is one I'm passionate about. Then make two lists. These are the things in my control. These are the things out of my control. And out of those, how many in the in control list suit you the best? So, and how many in the out of control does that race fall into? And then what are you okay with? So it's like, okay, this is, say Ironman Lanzarote. I'd love to go do that race. That's the most race I'm most passionate about. And then you realize, wow, that travel is really complicated and it's winter the whole time before. And, you know, all these things that are completely out of your control. If too many of them fall in that list, it might not be the right race for you and you find a different one. But if 80% of the things that you can control fall in line with that race that you're most passionate about, maybe that, you know, that's your A race. So step-by-step process, I think, you know, passionate. And then the in control list is where most of the things fall for you to be able to go to that race successfully.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Elliot.
Oh no. Finish your thought.
I was even going to say like, and I think goals could even go in that controllable pile, right? A lot of people have like these big goals that maybe, you know, like we're talking about time goals or whatever else, but maybe those goals can actually be malleable based on that race. Cause like, if you have a time goal and it's based on your time at Arizona and you're looking at Ironman Lanzarote, it's like, well, that's not like apples to apples. Right. So that goal can be like malleable and say, okay, well, I did originally want to break 10 hours, but now I'm really excited about going this other race. And so I can change that goal to 10:45. And I feel like that'd be like equivalent and it would make me just as happy. So I'd say, keep that in mind when you're thinking about these, maybe like preset goals that you have, that maybe those are actually more malleable than you think they are.
Yeah. And the only other thing is obviously you guys, we were just talking about like kind of A races, but the flip side to that is if you're choosing a race that's more for fun or more for training, you're asking all these same questions. And then you just have to keep in the back of the mind, or more towards the front of the mind, is what's the fallout? Like, what's the recovery time? And how does this then, is this a training stress that's really good, or is it going to beat me up and take a really long time to recover for it? And how does that fit into the rest of your season? And I know we're trying not to talk about season planning, but it's all those same questions you guys were just saying that you have to ask. And then you just add in one more question, which is, what does this do? How does this build towards the next event, that the kind of the bigger goal? But all the same things about, does this motivate me, et cetera. And maybe the motivation is the next event. You're not even thinking about the event you're in while you're there. You're there going hard purely to get the work done for the next one. And that's a valid reason to choose a race as well.
Yeah. And then like the next thing that we are not going to like deep dive into, but just kind of touch on, is that it depends on how that falls into your season of races, right? Like we talked about having like 10 races on the schedule, like how they all fit together. And that's kind of a longer conversation on how you stack races and plan races in order to fit with the other races you're doing for a year. And then how your goals set up for all those races, all those things do have to come into play. But again, like that's kind of pretty individual and based on a lot of different scheduling things, but that is another factor to consider when you're choosing a specific race on how that falls in the rest of your season.
Did we do it?
I mean, Elliot's giving me the thumbs up. Marilyn's giving me the thumbs up. I think that means we did it. Thank you. Thank you for spending the afternoon with me, guys.
Yeah. Hopefully this helped you guys at least have an idea. You know, this is the time of year where everybody's definitely taking a look at the race calendar and trying to figure out what's, you know, going to be the choices this year. And there's, we can't help but mention, there's obviously the added questions and stress of what, you know, the year is going to allow in terms of travel with COVID and all of those things. So as you roll through, we're not even going to get into that in this conversation. However, you know, everybody's taking a look at the calendar and saying, let's go ahead and hope and assume it's going to be a very normal year. And and start to pick things based on these things that we're giving you to get excited about, and pick your race calendar, and then be flexible, right? Be flexible, be adaptable, and hopefully you can set your eyes on something that you can get excited about training through the winter and build yourself a great season.
Yes. Whenever you choose your race, just pretend that Jesse, Marilyn, and me are looking over your shoulder, shaking our heads either approvingly or disapprovingly, and you'll make a good decision.
And to that end, if you want help from any of us, please reach out and we'd love to help you set up your race schedule.
There you go.
Thank you.
Open for business.
Thanks, guys. Fun conversation.
See you guys next time.
Thank you.
Bye.